Okay, good morning, Boker Tov. Welcome back to Parashat Perspectives for today. Back on its regular day. This time the Simcha was Sunday, Monday, so I didn't have to move any Shiurim, Baruch Hashem. Our Parsha series is generously sponsored by our dear friends Becky and Avi Katz. We don't take it for granted, and we're grateful to them. In memory of Becky's father, our learning is Lila Nishmas, David Grossman, David Ben Menachem Manush. Also, our series is generously sponsored by the Dykman family, in memory of their daughter and sister, Daniela Rachabas, Shalom Ezra. A remarkable young woman who passed away tragically. Our learning is Le'iloi Nishmasa as well. This morning is sponsored anonymously in the merit of Avner ben Avram HaKohen, Shein Dobaz, David Mishal ben David, David ben Mishal ben Nisum ben Rishim, Rufal Chaim ben David, Asher Vracha Bas Yochid Valevi, and by Chana Ringel, Le'iloi Nishmas Chaya Bas Yoshua Yisrael Yosef, David ben Harav Mordechai, and Yaakov Zev ben Hara. Thank you to all of our generous sponsors. Greatly appreciate. Okay, Parshas Lach, page 798. In the art scroll stone, Chumash. Vaydaber Shem Moshe Lemor. We're continuing the Jewish people's trek through the Midbar, through the desert. And here at this point, they were on their way. Had they not made that fatal mistake, a mistake that changed the course of Jewish history forever, a mistake that we continue to be paying for until this very day, this Parsha, we would have been on our way into the Promised Land. We would have been setting up shop. Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Torah Yisrael, this perfect triumvirate. And we would have been fulfilling the very purpose and mission of why God created the world and us in it. And our Parsha, of course, is this incredible juncture, this tremendous pivot, this horrific deviation from where we were supposed to go and meant to go. But I guess on the other hand, we ended up where we were meant to be and made the most of that mission based on that reality of the mistakes that we made. Hashem spoke to Moshe, Shlach lecha anashim. And Hashem tells Moshe, Shlach lecha, send for yourself, men. We'll translate loosely soon as spies, but send men. And what's their mission? What's their goal? Viyasuru es Eretz Kanan. Translate the word viyasuru. So if you look at the article translation, that's what I have in front of me. It says, send men and let them spy. It says spy out. I don't know if that's actual English, spy out the land. I think it's just spy. You don't have to spy out something. But go and spy. Viyasuru is spy. That's actually not an accurate translation. We'll see in a moment. That's actually where it all went wrong. I'm not blaming Art Scroll for the Chet HaMeraglim, but I'm saying that translation is inaccurate, and the earlier misinterpretation of what the mission was, Viyasuru, is what led to the entire problem. And where were they meant to go? Look, Es Eretz Kanan, Ashrani Nosein Levnei Yisrael, that I'm giving you Ish Echad, and one man from each father's tribe, Matav Vosav Tishlachu, send, Kol Nasibam. So much to unpack just in this beginning pasuk. Whose idea was it? Who initiated this? Was it the people? Was it Moshe? Was it Hashem? What is a mitzvah? Was it a concession from Hashem that he let us send spies? Was it a good idea? Was it a bad idea? What led to this outcome? What is going on over here? So much to see, so much to talk about. Let's start with the Menachem Tzion. Menachem Tzion Zaks, we've been learning this new edition of the great Menachem Tzion. And he says the following. He says, Shlach lecha, that word, it could have said Shlach anashim, send men, send spies. Why does it say lecha? Lecha means for you. Shlach lecha, send for you. Lecha ladaitcha, ani eini mitzavelach. I send for yourself. I didn't tell you. Im tirtza shlach, if you want, send. This is all Rashi. The Jewish people came and they said, Nishlacha Nashim Levaneinu. Let's send men. We have an idea. Let's check it out. It's true, God has promised, but we got to see. Got to investigate. Got to do reference checks. Got to do an interrogation. Can't just trust. We got to send spies. Batikravune Eli Kochem Moshe Nimlach Mishchina. Amar Ani Amarti Lem Sheitova. Chayem Shani Nosen Lem Makom Latos Bedivrem Raglam Lo Yeshua. All that's Rashi. God said, I told you, I promised you it was going to be good. You didn't trust. You want to trust and verify. You want to verify before you trust it. So you want to send spies. Etzem adrisha ben Yisrael l'shloch merachlim, hochicha shayachaseir emuna bitachon. What was the core? What was at the core of where they went wrong? Why? Why did they insist? God said, we're good. We're moving to this community. We're going on this mission or trip. We're investing in this stock. We're doing. God says, I'm promising you a good outcome, positive outcome. And they said, thanks, appreciate that. We'd like to check it out for ourselves. Where did that stem from? What was the problem? Says the Menachem Tzion, the problem was they were chaser memuna bitachon. It was a breakdown in failure and faith. Hayados mevuseses al ikaron ki na'aseh mechuyav Tamid lahaktim es hanishma. Listen to this yisod. It's an incredible principle the Menachem Tzion gives. We know what is so celebrated about Har Sinai. We just celebrated Shavuos, Matan Torah, Har Sinai. We were back at the mountain. And when we were recreating that experience of being back at the mountain, accepting the Torah anew, how did we do it the way it was originally done? And how was it originally done? We said, Nasa v'nishma. We're in. We're in. We're going to do it. We're in. Now tell us what to do. But you need to know before you even tell me what to do, I'm in. A friend, a family member leaves you a voice note. What's up? Look, I need a favor. You leave them a voice note back. Done. When you're done, I didn't tell you. Now you can tell me, but I want you to know when you reached out, done. You'll tell me what the favor is because I need to know what to do. But even before you do, need to know, done. I'm in. So Hashem said, I've got a vision, a mission, a purpose, a formula, a blueprint, an instruction manual. We said, done. I got to tell you what to do. Yeah, done. Nasa, we're in. Nishma, now tell us what to do. What went wrong with the Meraglim was, it was the opposite. Hashem said, I'm giving you a promise. This is the land. This is your future. This is your destiny. This is your ultimate destination. And we said, Nishma, tell us more. Check it out. Let us see. Got to go on a pilot trip, on a pilot mission. And then after Nishma, then Nasa, based on what we see, if it meets our criteria, our liking, if we're good, then we'll do. We got it backwards. By getting it backwards, we immediately undid what we got right at Har Sinai. At Har Sinai, those iconic words, Nasa then Nishma. Meraglim, Nishma, and then we'll see, maybe Nasa. We got it backwards, says the Menachem Tzion. In Tehillim, the Pasuk, my Bubby, Allah Shalom's favorite Pasuk, Tamur Uki Tov Hashem, Ashrei Geri Yechesebo. Tilam Lamedalad, we say it on Shabbos morning as part of the expanded Psuke de Zimra. And David HaMelech taught us, Ta'amu Uru'uki Tov Hashem. Give a taste. If you give a taste, you're going to see it's delicious. It's delicious. Don't wait to be convinced. Don't be persuaded. Don't see the compelling evidence and arguments why God exists and why the just put on tzitzis. Just light candles. Just get going. Ta'amu, get a taste of Yiddishkeit. Get a taste of what it means to live with Emunah. Get a taste. And once you taste ta'amu, uru'uki tov Hashem. Mikodem ta'amu, v'achakach uru'u. David HaMelech understood that the idea of Nasa v'nishma was, what Hashem is telling us is, get a taste, get a feel, experience, experiential Yiddishkeit. When you experience how enriching, how empowering, how beautiful, how uplifting, how inspiring, when you taste, you'll just want more. I wrote about this once. Our family visited Atlanta. We went to the Coke factory. And there we found out everything and more than you ever wanted to know about the history of Coca-Cola. And then because it's designed to undermine and destroy the parents' rest of the day and following night, you get all you can drink, caffeinated, every type of Coke at the end with machines, and there your kids don't sleep for like 2 weeks after the visit to the Coke factory. My kids were much younger at the time. So I remember they talked about in the history of Coke, first they came up with the Coca-Cola formula. This is not why you came to the Parsha Shir. Don't worry, just short, briefly. They came up with the Coca-Cola formula. It didn't come originally as Coke in cans and bottles, Diet Coke, Coke Zero. It wasn't a cherry Coke. It was Coca-Cola. And where'd they sell it originally? In pharmacies. And at the checkout of the desk was a vat that had a syrup of Coke that you mixed and diluted in water. And that was how you purchased this original Coca-Cola. And nobody was buying it because who was experimenting or trying this thing? Who was going to buy this expensive formula? And then they realized, give away a free taste. If you give everyone who comes in a free taste, then they're going to want more. And now since then, you can't go into Costco every aisle. You can't go wherever you go. Everybody picked up and learned and realized, Ta'amu ru'u ki tov Hashem. If you give a taste, you'll just want more. So Ta'amu ru'u is similar to Nasa v'nishma. Gemara Avodah Zarah tells a story. He goes to Gzirusa b'Marava l'Megal Taima Atresa Yarchei Shasa Dil Meike Nishlo Sfir Levasla Zilzulei Bei. In Eretz Yisrael, when they were Gozrim Gzirus, in Israel, when they were enacting decrees, they would not reveal the reason for the decree until 12 months passed. Why? Because if we would have, you know, effective immediately, the new policy is X. Don't give the reason. Why? Because first let people observe and adopt and condition themselves to keep the enactment, and later you reveal the reason. But if you give the reason early on, they'll say, the reason doesn't apply, disagree with the reason, reasons are necessary. So they were putting the nasa before the nishma. That's the Jewish way. And the breakdown, the failure, where we went wrong in this parsha with the Meraglim was, we got it backwards. Instead of saying, Hashem, you say to go to the Israel, you say the land is great, you say we're going to conquer even the giants, we're in. We're in. We'll check it out. Once we're there, we'll figure out where to live and what schools to send our children to. We'll figure that out. But we got it backwards. Instead of following up on Nasa v'Nishma, we said Nishma v'Nasa. First, let's go check it out. And then afterwards, and only afterwards, will we do. And then he has a second, the Menachem Tzion. What was the mission? V'yasuru es Eretz Kanan. Investigate the land. So it says the Menachem Tzion the following. Had the Meraglim not gone first, a person could have thought, you know why we conquered the land? It was easy. Barren, desolate, abandoned. The people that were there were weak, and it was so easy to conquer. And al pi derech hateva, it is a result of our strength. Kochi v'otzem yadi. We have a great military, a great army, great weapons, great superiority. So we won because they're weak and it was easy. No. The most important thing to see when you go and you check out the land, what were they going to see? Now, in other words, the Menachem Tzion is telling us, here's how you can punctuate this pasuk. You ready? Send men, let them go spy or investigate Eretz Canaan. Asher ani nosein livnei Yisrael is that description of the land. Which land? Canaan, which is the land that I'm giving you, or go see the land, and what should you investigate? Go see how I'm giving you that land, because otherwise there's no other way you could conquer it. Api derech hateva, in the ordinary natural order, the laws of nature, there's no way. The slave nation, there's no way you could come in and conquer it. If you come to the land from that perspective, if you come and investigate and see Canaan, Canaan's not just another geographic place. Canaan's not just another land. What defines Canaan? What's its defining characteristic? It is Asher Ani Nosein Livnei Yisrael. God is constantly giving it. Nothing about it makes sense. In the latest salvo with Iran, Yemach Shemam V'Zichram, this week's war with Iran, it's like a segment. In this week's war with Iran, an exchange of ballistic missiles, yet again, all blown out of the air, none landed, none damaged, and we just tend to take that for granted. Like, oh, so my grandchildren, they missed school one day, they're back and gone the next day, we just exchanged some ballistic missiles, they were all blown out of the sky, weiter, we move on. There's nothing normal about that. No part of that's normal. Not millions of our brothers and sisters having to run to bomb shelters. That can never, ever, ever, ever be normal. Not for them, not for us, not for the world. That is not, there's nothing, we have to remain maladjusted. There's nothing normal about that. But also equally, there's nothing normal about the miracle of blowing those ballistic missiles out of the sky. Or the miracle of Israel, again, defying all the air space of Iran to fly directly to Tehran and drop bombs wherever they want. And knowing exactly where to bomb them, who's there, and where they're hiding. There's nothing normal about any of this. Hein mitzad, that the world tolerates it, or from the miracle that God does for us. And that's what the pasuk's telling us. That's what the Menachem Tzion is telling us. What we were meant to go and see and investigate is that everything that will happen in this land is nothing short of miraculous. And according to the natural order, nothing should happen. This barren desert will never bloom. Nobody wanted it. Our friend Yedidya Harush, who visits often, our friends in Shlomit and Chalutza, who Yedidya's family was removed from Yamit in the Sinai. And then they built their lives in Gush Katif. And then they were removed from Gush Katif. And then they built their lives in Chalutza, in the beautiful area between Gaza, Egypt, and Israel. So barren, so desolate, so hopeless, that Yasser Arafat, Yemach Shemo, in the negotiations said, I don't want that. Will you give me that? Nothing could ever grow there. What are you going to give me that? And Yedidya Harush and the incredible pioneers of Chalutza said, we'll take it. They moved there. And now, if you haven't visited, you should. It's green and lush and growing and exporting all kinds of vegetables everywhere. Why? Because Eretz Canaan is the land Asher Ani Nosein Livnei Yisrael. Hashem's fingerprints are all over. The skies, the land, everywhere in Israel. The miracles of Israel. That's what they were meant to go see. V'isparku kol hasvekos v'hayisusim. And says the Menachem Tzion, any doubt you had, any doubt, any uncertainty, Can we conquer? Can we rise up? Will we be able to live? Go see. Go see how unlikely it all is. And when you realize that nonetheless, even with its unlikeliness, is that a word? Nevertheless, you will conquer and inhabit the land. Now you relax, let go, and let God. Who got it? Only 2 out of the 12. Only the good spies. Only Kalev and Yeshua understood it. When they said, in their report, when Kalev and Yehoshua protest the other 10 spies, what do they say? This land that what? That God is giving us. The whole purpose, the whole idea of the mission was to be able to come back and feel even stronger and more strongly that there's nothing normal in this land, that it's all miraculous. It's all extraordinary. There is no ordinary. And with that confidence, come back and realize this is all from Hashem. The Ach Pri Tfuah, the Heilige Ach Pri Tfuah, who Rav Tzvi Hirsch Miliska, who was the Rebbe, Rav Shaila Keristir. So the Ach Pri Tfuah also says something fascinating. I saw it this morning and gave me an entire new insight on the story of the Meraglim and our Parsha Shlach. We read the same Parsha every year. And we know the story since we're little children, many of us, most of us. But our understanding, our level of sophistication, our analysis of the story has to grow each year. If you're just going to say the story, oh, there were spies, they went, they came, the giants, the grasshoppers, punished 40 days, 40 years. You got to grow, you got to go deeper and deeper and deeper. Rasharet shlach lecha ledatcha. Ani eini mitzav alachim tirtza shlach. God says shlach lecha. I'm not sending. You want? It's for you. Don't do it for me. God says, I don't need spies. If you're sending spies, you're doing it for you. Vubilti muvan. Who's the one who gathers and selects and sends the spies? None other than Moshe Rabbeinu. Since when does Moshe do things that God didn't ask? Moshe is b'chol beis neeman. Moshe is the most trustworthy and faithful servant of Hashem. Everything he does is at the direct order of Hashem. So if Moshe sent these spies, that's inconsistent. It's incongruous with Hashem saying, shlach lecha. If you want, you do. Don't do it for me. I don't need it. And then Moshe goes ahead and does it. If God just said he doesn't need it, why would Moshe be doing it? Doesn't sound like the Moshe we know and love. V'gam, Moshe kosva Torah achrekach, v'yishlach osa Moshe api Hashem. Then the Torah records and reports Moshe sent them. And how did he send them? Api Hashem. Based on Hashem's mashma she'eb ratzon Hashem. Which is it? Did the spies go meeting the ratzon Hashem? Was that the will of Hashem? Or did the spies go and that was not Hashem's plan? And he didn't need it. And he didn't ask us for it. No, which is it? And moreover, says Rav Hirsch Liska, it's a contradiction. And Rashi says, l'hakish halichas l'biyasam. On the one hand, before they left, they were all righteous. These are the heads of the tribes. This is the Moatzes Gedolei HaTorah. These are the greatest rabbis of the generation. And yet, it says they went, and they left, and they came the way they went. Just like when they came back, it was bad news. When they left, originally it was bad news. What do you mean? Were they righteous? Kulam tzadikim? Or was it Eitzara af alichasan? Even their going on that mission was already bad news. So listen to what the Ach Pri Tfuah says. The Rebbe from Reb Shaila. Did you know Reb Shaila's brother is buried in Staten Island? I just learned that last week. I had no idea. And supposedly Reb Shaila said, if you can't get to Keristir to daven at his grave, go to Staten Island and daven at his brother. His brother's buried in Staten. Who knew? You knew. I didn't know. Okay. Vanir li b'chozeh. So it says the Ach Pri Tfuah. Just a little bonus information for Pasha perspectives. Nir b'chozeh. Mavur b'Rabbeinu b'chaya. Rabbeinu b'chaya explains, Zashiluach ha-meraglam hayim mishum d'v'chol inyanam tzarech adon lasos b'derech ha-teva mitchila. This is Rabbeinu b'chaya's understanding and insight into the story of the Meraglim. Everything we do, we discuss this almost every week in our Living with Emunah Shir Wednesday mornings. Everything we do, Hashem designed a world for us to do first how? B'derech HaTeva. Initiative. You got to go to work. You got to have a job. You got to take initiative. You got to give your all. If a person is sick, chas v'shalom, you got to go to the doctor. You got to get a diagnosis. You got to take the medicine they prescribed. You got to undergo the therapy. Derech HaTeva. We have something called the natural order, the natural world, and we live in it. And the first thing we have to do is our initiative. And once we take our initiative, network in business, try to land clients, try to land customers, try to do sales, try to invest well. Now you've created a klei kibul through our initiative, through our hishtadlus, we create a vessel that God can now send a miracle. So God gives the healing. Why did you heal? Because of the doctor? Because of the medication? No, because God chose for you to heal and be healthy, but you needed to undergo, api derech hateva, take the initiative. Why is there money in your bank account? How were you able to cash that paycheck? Because of your hard work? Because of your employer who gave you your money? No, because the Almighty determined that you would have parnasa. It's just that it came about through, it looks like, allude through the illusion, the matrix of the teva, of the initiative of the natural order. Shlomo Melech, Pasuk in Mishlei says, Sus muchan liyom milchama, ulashem atshua. You prepare the horse for the day of war, and the salvation is from Hashem. The army are heroic, incredible, boundless gratitude and awe and admiration. Our army, their selfless sacrifice. They prepare, they get ready, but the salvation, the miracle, the outcome, the triumph, the victory is from Lashem Hatshua. We do what we can. We do what we have to because we live here in this world, knowing that maximum effort, but outcome is entirely from Hashem. Why did God create the world that way? Why did Hashem create the world that way? First, we have to make our effort. First, we have to take our step. First, Nachshon had to jump into the sea and then it split. Didn't split and then he walked in. We have to walk in, then it splits. You have to go to work and then you make your income. You have to go to the doctor and then you can heal. We have to take our effort and then Hashem sends the miracle. Why? Adarsh Mavur Bari. The Holy Ari HaKadosh explains on the Pasuk. Hatzur Tamim Palok Yichod Rachav Mishpat Kelem Unave Inavot Tzadiv Yasharhu. The Pasuk in Parshas Hazinu. Hatzur Tamim Pa'alo. God is the pure rock, Paolo. His efforts are pure. Kol derachav mishpat. All of the derech, the way which he interacts with us, is just. Imadam nosei matan lachaveira ina davar b'shleimus. Chaverim is bayish memenu. Man da'achal lav delay best l'schuli ba'apei. Yerushalmi in Orla. We have a principle. People generally, the world has radically changed in this way. Not for now. But it used to be, and it still should be, that people don't like handouts. They don't want handouts. People like to be independent. They like to be proud. They like to take care of themselves. The idea that they were taking a handout, that someone was giving them a gift, that they were being treated, people often had pride that got in the way. Hashem's kindness to us, he lets us live under the illusion that the outcome is also because of us. Hashem says, cute, adorable. He pinches our cheek and says, so cute, you think that your parnasa is because he is sweet. So sweet, so cute. You think because you went to work and you had this effort and you're an entrepreneur and you worked hard and you invested in that. That's so sweet. So cute, you think that you did well. So cute, you think that you have what you have because of that. I want you to feel good. So I let you think that. Hashem's kindness and chesed to us is that we begin with our initiative so that we can feel we're partners with him, even though in truth, 100% of the outcome is his. Says the Ari HaKadosh, we need to know that even without our efforts, even without our initiative, if we sat back passively on the couch and Hashem wanted us to be rich, somehow we would be. If we didn't go to a doctor and didn't heal and didn't take medication and Hashem wanted us to get better nonetheless, we would. Really, the outcome is entirely up to him. So why do we first take initiative? It's his kindness. It lets us believe that we contributed, that we participated. And now, I don't want to take the time because I want to get to much more. But what the Achbri Tvua, based on this Rabbeinu Bechaya NRE, basically concludes is, here's what happened. Hashem said, Shlach lecha anashim. I want you to send. It's not a contradiction. Is it for God or was it for us? Was it Alpi Ratzon Hashem or against Ratzon Hashem? Why would Moshe initiate it if God didn't really want it? What in the world is going on here? Those were all the questions that Achbri Tvua asked, and here's what he's answering. God did want us to send, but he wanted us to know why were they going. Shlach lecha anashim. just like we undergo the effort of Parnassa, just like we take initiative in our health and wellness. Why? For ourselves. It's God's kindness, so we can feel like we participated, we contributed. But really, in the end, the outcome is entirely up to Him. Here too, God says it's a concession for you. Alpi derech hateva, before a nation goes to war and conquers and inhabits a land, they send spies. So I want you to think you're doing it alpi derech hateva. Shlach lecha. Do it according to the natural order. Take initiative the way ordinary people do, and do that for you. But don't get confused to think that in the end, it's about you. The outcome is still up to me. And that's where the spies went wrong. They should have sent. That was God's plan. But God's plan, just like we go to work, but when we get the paycheck, we say, thank you, we know it's from you. Just like we go to the doctor, but when we heal and get better, we say, thank you, Hashem, we know that came from you. We were supposed to go investigate the land, but when we saw it, say, and we know that we can take it because that's from you. Instead, we saw it and thought, we're here because we need to investigate. And our outcome is, we're not sure that we should really go. That's where we went wrong. But what an important yesod for life. And that's the way that the Ach Pritvua reconciles what seems like a contradiction in the Psukim. But it's really a philosophy and an attitude for life. It's a reminder that all we do, we have to remember, we take our initiative, we do our part, but the outcome is entirely up to Him. And if He wanted that outcome, it could happen without our initiative. Why did He create and set up a world where we take initiative nonetheless? So that we would have the pride and the sense of independence and the joy and satisfaction that comes from feeling that we too contributed to it. Perek Yigimah Pasuk Gimel. Vayishlach Hashem Moshe Mimbar Paran Api Hashem. Moshe sent these men, Kulam Anashim Rashim Bnei Yisrael Hema. These were all men. Men. What does it mean they were all men? They were men of distinction. Anashim Chashuvim, I think Rashi says. No? Where's this Rashi? Somewhere. Doesn't he say Anashim Chashuvim? These were great men. These were the Nesim. These were the Moetzes. These were the great Rabbanim. So I want to share with you a Birchas Peretz, the Stipler Gon, the great Stipler, Reb Chaim Kanievsky's father, the Stipler, Birchas Peretz. V'pasa kulam Anashim Hashim Bnei Yisrael Hema. Rashi says, Kol Anashim Hashim Mikra Loshan Chashivus. V'osa Shok Sheirim Hayu. Zogt Rashi, why does it say they were men? They were righteous. They were great. They were Anashim Chashuvim. They were Kshirim, trustworthy, reliable, loyal, holy. Then the next pasuk, Vayachu Vayavo al Moshe, Rashi says, Ma biyasan beitzara, afali chasan beitzara. So I don't get it. Before they go, they're Anashim Chashuvim. They're recruited. Moshe says, we're going to meet in the boardroom. We're going to lay it out. I'm going to show you maps. Here's the plan. I'm recruiting you to be the spies. And at that point, what are they? They're Anashim Chashuvim, Ksherim. They're righteous, they're holy, they're pure. So pure, so holy. They're Yidden. They're one of the Yidden. They're righteous and so pure and so holy. So how can then the subsequent Rashi say that before they go, just like when they came back, they blew it. So too, even before they left, they blew it. Which is it? Before they went, were they righteous? Or before they went, did they already compromise and corrupt the mission? Which is it? Listen to what the Stipler says. L'chora hadvarim sosrim zese. It's a contradiction. Were they ksherim? Did they believe in Hashem and Moshe? Or were they not? He says the following. Before they went, they were righteous and holy. And they knew and they believed that they were going to conquer and inhabit the land, defeat the seven Canaanite nations, all with Hashem's support and guidance. But what happened? Miyad la'acha shenivcharu, ba'u leklal gaiva, v'ninma lahem shehem nivcharu, lo b'tor shluchim ba'alma, l'saper mashayiru, ela b'tor, da'igim u'poskim l'achri alachim ha'shal ikar inyim b'yasaretz. What happened was, once they were chosen, and once they were designated, their head and their hearts swelled with pride. They grew arrogant. They thought that they were empowered with the actual decision, should we go or not? V'zo eitzorah, even before they ever left, all of a sudden there's this transition. They're anashim chashuvim. They're righteous. They're holy. So pure. And then what happens? They get arrogant and they think, the men, we're the committee. We're going to decide. We're in charge. We're in control. It's up to us. And that's where they went wrong. That's where they went wrong. And that's what the stipler warns. The person has to be careful. And the person has to know if they're chosen, if they're designated, if they're selected, be humbled, not arrogant. Recognize your responsibility. Don't let it go to your head. Don't think you're in charge and you're in control and therefore you're bigger or you're better. That corrupts, that clouds, that confuses, that compromises. Instead, think, I'm humbled by this mission, by this purpose. I'm humbled by this designation. And therefore, it's not about me. I'm a conduit for what Hashem wants and the will and the outcome. And that will protect us from going wrong. So even before they ever left, they went from Anashim Chashuvim and Ksherim to Eitz Hara. How did that happen even before they ever left? Because they let it go to their head. This is a contrast to last week's parsha. What did we see in last week's parsha? Aaron HaKohen Ba'alos Chesaneros Shaloshina. Lahagit Shvacho Shaloshina. Aaron never deviated. He never changed. Shaloshina, he never changed was, even though he went from the no-name Aaron that no one ever heard of, and he became Aaron HaKohen, the founding Kohen Gadol, the one who lit the candelabra. Nevertheless, despite this big name, this prominence, this power, this position, he never changed. He never deviated. He never changed. It never impacted him. Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Tes Zayin. Elish Mosan Hashem Asher Shalach Moshe Lasur Es Haaretz, Vayikra Moshe Lasur Ben Nun Yoshua. These are the men that were sent, Lasur. We already saw that. V'yasuru. Shalach HaAnashim V'yasuru. And this is coming back to what I alluded to earlier. I asked you to translate that word, and you didn't do anything wrong. You read the art scroll. And art scroll said, spy. And here too, again, the translation, Elish Mos Anashim, these are the name of the men that Moshe sent to do what? Lasur. And again, art scroll translates it as, spy out. Anyone have the Sachs Chumash in front of you? I'm curious how he translates it. Lasur. It's not spy. How do I know? Because the Ksava Kabbalah. Who wrote the Ksava Kabbalah? Rav Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, Germany, early 19th century. So here look at Ksava Kabbalah. Yesh Hevdel Bein Tor Lemeragel. There's a fundamental difference between Latur, Lasur, or read it Ashkenazis. But if you read it Sfardit, it gives you the translation even within the Hebrew word. Latur, translate the word Latur, take a tour. We've spoken about this before, but I want to read it to you from the Ksava Kabbalah. What was their mission? What was their purpose? To go and tour. What's the difference between tatur, latur, lasur, and limragel? What's the idea of limragel? To spy. What's the difference between a spy and a tourist? Haisha shayasur mevakesh hatov. When you go to tour, you go to see the good. Nobody pays to take a flight, a hotel, and rent a car to find out everything wrong with the country that they went on vacation to. You don't go to tour to find, Jews find what to complain about everywhere. So the food wasn't as good as they said, the view wasn't as good as they said it would be, the hotel wasn't as good as they said it would be, the amenities didn't deliver. Okay, that's like sometimes a Jewish thing. But generally speaking, you go to tour not to find what's wrong and what's bad. You go to tour in order to see what's great. Oh, the food, the culture, the views, the atmosphere was amazing. La tour la menucha. Lasur lachem makom lachanoschem. Alat asher tarti lahem. Velo sasuru achare levavchem. Achare nechem. Lirduf achare hata'anugim. Ksava Kabbalah here links the beginning of the parsha with the end. The parsha opens up with lasur. These men were meant to go and tour. And the parsha ends with tzitzis. And why do we read tzitzis? Velo sasuru achare levavchem. Don't be a tourist who goes to check out every website and every show and every city and everything. Don't go tour all of the pleasures of this world. Don't be this tourist who's going to check out all the pleasures that the world has to offer. And the Ksava Kabbalah here connects the bookends of the parsha. They were went via suru eseretz kanan, lasur esaretz, velosasuru. You know where you should go tour and see the good? Israel. You know where you shouldn't go tour in order to check out all the good and the pleasures of this world? Los asiru achar levavchem, wherever your heart's desires. Uvehefech, hamaragel yevakesh hasara. The spy does the opposite. If the tourist is going to find the good, then the spy goes in order to reveal the bad. K'mo maraglim atem, liros hazer v'sa'ar basam. Who accused his brothers of being a spy? Yosef. What does he say? Lirosas Ervas Arad's Basam. You're spies. You came in order to expose what's bad here in this country. So you see, what's the definition of a spy? To expose what's bad in the country. So that's what, again, I want to take the time. You could read the rest of this beautiful Ksav HaKabbal inside. He says, over and over again, Hashem tells Moshe, tell them to go, why? Go tour. Go. Why do you go on a pilot trip? Not to confirm to yourself why you shouldn't go. Not to see everything bad and wrong. You go on a pilot trip as a tourist. Let's go find beautiful, the right place, the right, let's go. Be a tourist. That's what Parshas Shlach is telling us. Be a tourist of Hashem's world. Go see the good. Go find the good. Go reveal the good. Don't be a spy. A spy finds what's bad. A tourist goes to see what's good. That's where they went wrong, says Rav Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Ches. Urisam Asarz Mahiv Asam Eishev Aleha Chazak Urafam Atum Rav. Go see the land. Go see what it's about. And the nation that sits on it, dwells there. Are they strong or are they weak? Says the Menachem Tzion. Back to the Menachem Tzion. Urisam Asarz. Twice in our parsha, we have the word Urisam. So the Ksav HaKabbalah points out the bookends of Lasur. Lasur v'lo sasuru. And here, the Menachem Tzion says Urisam. We have it twice. Urisam oso zechartem es komitzvos Hashem. When it comes to the land of Israel, Urisam esaretz, go see the land. And the end of the parsha with tzitzis, why do we wear tzitzis? Urisam osam, look at your tzitzis, uzechartem, and remember the mitzvos Hashem. And amal v'yesar ha-mashem, koach ha-riyah shalem mitzumtzam. Himroam rak mashem nitzel f'neim bekav yashar ha-mashalamata mehem. Ants. Ants, not your uncle's wife. Ants, like the creepy crawlies on the floor. Ants. What can they see? Very little. Why? They have no scope. They have no perspective. They have no height. All they see is what's on the ground right in front of them. An ant can't see what's behind them. And an ant can't look up and see what's above them. And an ant doesn't have some big perspective to see more broadly. All an ant can see is what's immediately in front of them. There's some men, says the Menachem Tzion, some people, they have very narrow, very limited vision. All they saw is what's underneath them, what's below them, what's beneath them, what's right in front of them. That's all they see. I just want this food. I just want to share this Lashon Hara. That's all they see. They can't lift up. They can't look above. They don't see there's something more. In Yane Ruach, that there's a spiritual world, and there are heavens, and there's a future world to come. And there's so much more than what's right in front of you in the here and now. And there are other people who live in the clouds. All they see is what's above. In Yanei Ruach. But they don't see this world. And they don't see what's in front of them. And they don't see the possibility in the physical mundane. The Kach Nemar. And that's why our Parsha says the Menachem Tzion includes both. Urisam es ha'aretz. V'chein urisam es ha'ov v'zachartam es komitzus Hashem. You need to be able to live in both simultaneously. We live in two dimensions. We see down here and we look up above. Uriisem. Uriisem es ha'aretz. And also, Uriisem osam. Oso uzachartem es komitzus Hashem. The Gemara Menachos teaches us about tzitzis. Uriisem oso. Hatchelas doma liyam. Liyam doma lirikia. Urikia lakise akavod. Tchelas. Tchelas, when a person sees the blue turquoise of tchelas, the tchelas look like the sea, and the sea is similar to the heaven, and the heaven's a reminder of God's throne. Find that blend. We have to live in both. If your head is too much in the clouds and you're not in the here and now, you're not reliable and trustworthy, you don't see the possibility, you're not giving Hashem a dira b'tachtonim, you don't see the richness and the spirituality, and it's not a religious experience to here and now, then you're missing something. And the person who only lives in the here and now and all they have is this material, physical, mundane world, but they don't connect to that which is above, is missing something. Our mission is Urisa Mesa'aretz, see, even within Artsius, even within the material, see the possibility. But also, Urisa Moso, Uzachartim is Komitzos Hashem. Connect it with that which is above. Who had a dream that created that connection between heaven and earth? Yaakov, when he lay his weary head to rest, and he had a dream about a stairway to heaven. That stairway to heaven was a bridge between heaven and earth. That was exactly what he was learning. He just spent 14 years in Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever. Yaakov is leaving the yeshiva, a place that focuses almost exclusively only on heaven and earth, on heaven. And so he leaves and he thinks, I'm done. I just left my religion, my spirituality behind. Now I'm going to become a balabos. I'm no longer a yeshiva bocher, no longer a ben Teira, ben Aliyah, just going to be a lowly balabos. So he has a dream of a bridge, of a staircase between heaven and earth. Hashem was telling him, no, you're now going to bridge heaven and earth. You're going to find God in the physical and the mundane. You're going to elevate the earth in order for it to touch heaven. That's your mission. That's your purpose. There's no such thing. We're never done. And that's the combination of the two Urisimosos, the beginning of the Parsha, the end of the Parsha. So that's twice today. We saw the bookends of our Parsha, the connection between the Meraglim and Tzitzis. The word Lasur, Meraglim were spent to go, not spy. Article, if you're listening, issue out a new stone chumash. You got to upgrade that translation. They were never sent to spy. They were sent to tour. Go be tourists. Go see the good. So while we're meant to tour and see the good of Eretz Yisrael, lo sasurach elavavchem, we're not meant to go tour all the pleasures of this world. And similarly, Ruisim is in the beginning and the end of the Parsha. Perek Yigim Apasuk Chafhei. Finally, turning the page. V'yeshuva mitur aretz, they came back from touring the land, miketz arba im yom. They came back from touring the land at the end of 40 days. They came back at the end of 40 days. I quote every year, but I have to repeat it. Rav Asher Weiss, Mor V'Rabbi asks, we were punished. They came back touring 40 days. So therefore, when they gave the negative report about the land, the punishment was, we wandered how many years in the desert? 40. Why? 1 year for every day. Ask Rav Asher Weiss. But that wasn't the failure. The failure was 1 day. The day they got back, they gave a bad report. So we should have wandered 1 year. 1 year for the 1 day. The 1 day we made the mistake of the bad report. Why 40 days, 40 years? What does 40 have to do with anything? And he has an incredible insight. Going back, these men, their yitziyasam, their biyasam, was be'etzara. They left with a bad attitude, they came back with a bad attitude. From that Rashi, that they didn't just come back and give the negative report, they left with a bad attitude, we know there's something called confirmation bias. Confirmation bias means sometimes when we have a bias, we then go out and in the world, we only see what will confirm our bias. So we heard that that restaurant's no good and we really wanted to go elsewhere, but we were dragged to that restaurant against our will. The one that we heard and that we think is no good and we don't want to be at and we don't want to go to. No matter what happens, no matter what we're served, at the end of that night, we're going to say, eh, no good, terrible, should have gone to the other place. Why? Because we went in with the attitude, the outcome was already predetermined. These Meraglim went in with a bad attitude. And because of the confirmation bias, they went in with a bad attitude, the outcome was already predetermined. So all 40 days that they went through the land, no good, eh, not going to happen, won't work, there's a bad reason. They spent all 40 days confirming their bias that this isn't a good plan. So the mistake and the failure was not the 1 day, the one presentation when they came back. What was the failure and breakdown? Not the 1 day, not the one presentation. It was that all 40 days, their bad attitude that just confirmed, that just confirmed. But the Achri Tfua, the Tzvi Hirsch of Liska has a different, B'derech Remez, he says, in Ere Isi B'Svarim, Ein Tzetel Cotton. Who wrote the Tzetel Cotton? Who is the Tzetel Cotton? Anyone know? No? The Heiliger of Elimelech. The Noam Elimelech, Elimelech of Lezhinsk. Im Yesh Lo La'odim Eza Mida Ra, Chas V'Shalom. If a person has a quality they want to change, something you want to work on, something you want to change, how long do you need to change it? State and Atomic Habits? What? How long do you need? So, the Tzetel Cotton says, Yizgaber Alav Arba'im Yom. You need 40 days. To change a habit? So we made a mistake. We did a 30-day technology challenge. It's still going, by the way. Now we do a challenge for the week. You know what the challenge for the week is this week? Oh, shkoyach. I was testing a little bit. We still have. The challenge is, anytime you're walking, don't look at your phone. Guess who failed at that challenge? Stepped in a hole and twisted his ankle. Yours truly. I was looking at my phone. I'm okay. Don't. My point is, schata ani masker. Anyway, we have now a weekly challenge because we're still going, but we ran the 30-day challenge. It was a mistake. Not 30 days. If you want to change your attitude and relationship with technology, not 30 days. You need how long? 40 days. Why 40 days? Says the Rebbe Rebbe Elimelech. Because how long was Arbam Yom Neged Yetzirah Savlad? How long does it take Yetzirah Savlad to go from embryonic fluid to a embryo? 40 days. 40 days. Yetzirah Savlad is 40 days. That's why it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And Moshe went on the mountain for 40 days. And the mission in Israel was for 40 days. Every time we see the word 40, it's because we're trying to change something. 40 is gestation. 40 is birth. 40 is growth. 40 is the amount of time. 40 days. Date for 40 days before you get engaged. 40 days. Everything is 40 days. You could date more. You could date less. I don't know why I threw that in. And that which the Torah says, go tour the land 40 days. Az yagi al teva chadasha. That's how to read the pasuk. If you come back 40 days, you'll get rid of your artzias. 40 days. This mission was 40 days. It's not a coincidence, says the Ach Brit Tevua. Just like going on the mountain, just like the Mei Noach, just like Arbam Yom Yetzirah Savlad, all of these gestations are 40 days. How many measures of water for a mikvah to be kosher? 40 sa. You'll see 40 all over the place, and anytime you see 40, it's because 40 is all about rebirth and change and a new beginning and a fresh start. That's 40. Why? What number is 40 in Hebrew? Oh, we don't have time for this. What number is 40 in Hebrew? Mem. Mem. Mem is unique in the Hebrew alphabet. How and what way? Spell mem. Mem, mem. It's the only letter in the alphabet that the way you spell it is with its own. You can start again. It's a new beginning. It's the same thing, but over again. The letter mem. A lot more to talk about. Okay, moving along. Viashuva, we just did. Ah, lona, la, perik, yigim, apostle, lamed. Turn the page again. The spies give their negative report. The tourists, who were meant to be tourists, but instead were spies, come back and they give their negative report. And they said, we can't go up. Lona, we can't do it. We can't go up. And now it's time for Kalev. Perik, yigim, apostle, lamed. Vayahas, Kalev, esha'am el Moshe. Kalev silenced the people towards Moshe, Vayomer, and he says, Alona ale, v'yarashnu osa, ki achol nuchala. We've got this. We can do this. We're going up. No one and nothing is going to stop us. They brought an attitude of, they were fatalistic. You know people like this in your life? Maybe once family, among friends, shul leadership. You have small-minded people, it's never going to work out, it's not going to work out, nothing could ever work out, nothing's going to be good, everything's going to be bad. Not going to happen. Kalev brought exactly the opposite attitude. Kalev's attitude was, Alona ale, we're going up. We've got this. Nothing's going to stop us. Nothing can get in our way. When we're determined and with Hashem's help, we've got this. Positive, optimistic, ambitious, driven. Rashi says, Alona ale, when Kalev told Alona ale, Afila b'shamayim, v'omer asu sulamos, v'alu sham natzliach b'chol derav. If Hashem says, climb all the way up to the heavens, make ladders that you can climb all the way up to the sky, no problem. We've got this. Nothing will stop us. Failure is not an option. That's the Jewish way of thinking. Failure is not an option. For others who are fatalistic, failure is already the outcome even before you started. Some people live life that failure is unavoidable. And other people live life that failure is not an option. Failure is not an option. Not an option. So wonders the Menachem Tzion, what? Kalev, Rashi, even if God said, climb to the heavens, no problem. We'll make a ladder that stretches to the heavens because nothing's going to stop us. We are going up. Ask the Menachem Tzion, reality check? You can't make a ladder that goes to the heavens? Not going to work? What are you thinking? Doesn't matter. Make a ladder. Keep stretching. Keep adding on. Keep contributing another rung. Keep climbing higher and higher. Why? This connects to what we said earlier. the tradition from Rabbeinu Bachaya and the Arizal. We have to do our part, Abhi Derech HaTeva. If we do our part in the natural order, God says, climb to the heavens. We say, no problem, we're going to make a ladder. I, moron, you can't make a ladder that'll reach the heavens? It's not my problem. God said to make a ladder, I'm going to start. He'll take care of the rest. He takes care of the outcome. That's when we merit a miracle. And that's the pasuk. I'm going to spare you now to sing it, even though it's one of my favorite songs. Ekra lelokim elyon, lekel gomer alai. A pasuk tehillim, kapitul nun zayin. Ekra lelokim elyon, I call out to the God above, lekel gomer alai. God, gomer, what does it mean, gomer alai? Listen to this. It's a bonus behind the music. We once did a series of classes. We sing all these beautiful songs. We have incredible Jewish music, but we don't even know what it means. Today, this morning's new Behind the Beam, Chaim Guri, beautiful composer. You should listen to his music. It's amazing. It's part of this new type of music where young people in particular are pouring out their hearts and their souls, and they're writing English, Jewish English music. It's like Jewish country music. It's amazing. But the music that's quoting Psukim that we all know and love and sing, but if you don't even know what it means, imagine where it could take you if you knew what it meant. So Ekra lelokim elyon, lekel gomer alai. What is gomer alai? Klomar al adam lasos mitzido kol asher bekochos lasos. Velikra lelokim elyon. Our job is ekra lelokim elyon. I call out to you, God. Lakel ligmor es ma shelamala mikocho. Now God, lakel gomer alai. God, gomer, gamar, ligmor means to finish. God, I start, you finish. Ekra lelokim elyon. I call out, I start, I'm getting started. I'm started. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how it finishes. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. But I only know I can get started. I take the initiative. I get started. Lakel gomer alai. It's up to you, God. Lakel gomer alai. You finish. You finish what I start. If I don't start, you don't finish. I can't rely passively on you. You won't finish if I don't start. I have to take my initiative. I have to make my effort. I have to make my effort. Shidduchim, parnasa. Health and wellness, every area of life. I can't sit back passively and wait. I can't be a specter to my own destiny. I have to wait. I have to work. I have to apidar chateva. I have to make the kli kibul. But lakel, even though ekra lokim, what I call out to you is, I started. I did my part. Ekra lokim, I called out to you, and what do I ask? Lakel gomer alai. You be gomer. You finish. This is uveirach Hashem lakecha b'chol asher taaseh. Yachal fido omer ibat tamad lomer b'chol asher taaseh. Hashem will give us a bracha b'chol asher ta'aseh. When does God give us a bracha? B'chol asher ta'aseh. He blesses our efforts. But he can't bless if there's no effort. He blesses our effort. He blesses our initiative. But if there's no initiative, there's no effort, he can't bless. Imagine, you say to your grandchildren, you say to your beautiful grandchild, I'm going to put a little bit of money every week in the bank. I want you to get used to saving. I want to build for you. I want you to understand the concept of compounding. I want you to take whatever interest. I want to teach it to you. So I want to give you, I have an incredible bracha, shefa bracha. I want to shower on you. But you need a bank account. If you don't have a bank account, I can't transfer it to you. I have the best intention. And in my bank account, I've already allocated what I want to give to you. But I can't give it to you if you don't have a bank account. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, the way we create the bank account that he can shower the bracha and transfer to is our effort, our initiative. When we take our effort, we make our initiative, shidduchim, parnasa, health and wellness, shalom bayis, every area of life, war with our enemies. The bank account is our effort. And then he can transfer in, the bracha is waiting. So uverach Hashem lokecha, Hashem will give us the bracha, but when does he give the bracha? Only when? B'chol asher taseh. Only asher taseh, make a bank account. Only when we make a bank account. He quotes countless psukim that give this example. Masa yadai, masa yadav, berachta. Pasuk in Iyov. Many, many psukim that reinforce the same idea. Where do we see this idea? Bisya basparo. Moshe is floating in the Nile, far away from her. She was clearly too far to be able to grab him. What does she do nonetheless? She extends her arm. Nonetheless, she puts out her arm. It made no sense. What are you extending your arm to a basket that's way too far? Because even that which beyond our reach is still within our grasp. Kodesh Baruch Hu, when you believe in Hashem, even that which feels beyond your reach was still within your grasp. This you taught us. That's what Rashi there says, a miracle happened. Her arm stretched longer. She became bionic. She became plastic. She became, her arm stretched even longer and she was able to grab it. Aye, but the miracle of her arm stretching longer only came about. What was necessary prerequisite to the miracle happening? Her effort, her initiative, her stretching. So that's the attitude of, that's the attitude of Kalev. Alona Aleh, Vyarashnu Asa. We're going up. We're going to conquer it. We're going to acquire it. We're going to win. We're going to achieve it. Failure is not an option. We've got it. We're going to take initiative. We're going to make an effort. We're going to stretch. We're going to strive. We've got this. And if we do, we create the account, the bank account, the Krei Klibel, the vessel that Hashem can make the deposit in. Perek Yudal, Pasul Chav Dalet. Moving along. Moshe's successful plea on their behalf. Va'avdi kalev eikav aysa ruach acharesimo v'imalei acharei. Hashem forgives. He decrees 40 years. My servant Kalev, a different spirit was with him. He followed me wholeheartedly. I'll bring him to the land, and his offspring will possess it. Ask the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. The Megid Yosef quotes the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Why does Hashem call specifically Kalev Avdi? Who's missing? Who else got it right? Where's Yeshua? Why only Kalev? Earlier it said, "Vayas Kalev Asa'am, v'lo matzina sheyeshua hashtikam, u'minastam Yeshua echriya she'en kan chiyuv mesiras nefesh harbikshu lahargam." Because while Yehoshua did not join the 10 wicked spies, he also did not speak up with Kalev. He wasn't Moser Nefesh. He didn't risk himself. He didn't put himself on the line. He didn't stand up and protest. V'chein mestam asavar shel yol ha'tochacha. Yehoshua concluded in his mind, they're just going to kill me. If they're not going to listen, if they're not going to hear it, if they're not going to be persuaded by it, then there's no reason to say it. So Yeshua, he didn't join the right, the wrong side, but as he also didn't stand up with the right side. Kalev lo asa cheshbonos. Kalev didn't make any calculations. Ela hayabo ha-tchuna shel eved, shirotze b'mitzvos rabo. Kalev's behavior demonstrated that he was Avdi Kalev. He was Hashem. Why? Because an Eved doesn't make cheshbonos. Kalev wasn't there calculating, should I do this? What if they kill me? Should I do this? What if they won't listen to me? There was no point. Should I do this? My kids will never get shidduchim. They'll never get married. He didn't sit there and make cheshbonos. He was an Eved Hashem. And he said, this moment demands standing up, protesting, articulating, doing the right thing. And because he demonstrated, the Torah therefore calls him Va'avdi Kalev. No Yeshua. Yeshua is not mentioned. Why? Because while Yehoshua did the right thing by not joining the wrong people, he ultimately didn't put his neck on the line. He didn't stand up and protest. He didn't join Kalev in challenging the people. And because of that here, it's only Avdi Kalev. It's not Avdi Yehoshua. Perek Yudalet Pasuk Lamed Ches. Bottom of page 808. Yeshua ben Nun v'Kalev ben Yefuna chayu min anash mehem ha'olchim l'asur es'aretz. Yehoshua son of Nun and Kalev son of Yefuna lived from among those men who were going to investigate, spy, tour the land. What word there is peculiar and why is it peculiar? Haholchim. Translate the word haholchim. Haholchim means they are. In what tense is that? Present tense. Should it be present tense? What should it say? Yeshua and Kalev are the only ones who lived from among the men that Halchu, who went to see the land. Not Halchim are seeing the land. Why in the present tense? It should be Halchu, the past tense. Says the Menachem Tzion, Halichasam haisakvar, davar sheba'avar. It should be past tense. V'yesh levar kach. Here's how you can explain it. V'yivku am balaylahu, the people cried that night. They cried that night. What day on the Jewish calendar was it? The 9th of Av. The Gemara Tainis Tav Chavtes tells us, "Amar LaMakosh Baruch Hu, Atem Bachisa and Bachia Shalchinam, and Yikovei Alachem Bachila Doros." You cried for no reason. What are you crying about? God says, "I told you, we got this. I told you it's going to be great. I told you, nu, come," and you cried. You're crying for no reason. I'll give you a cry. And Taka, he's given us many reasons. Countless calamities happened on that date, Tisha B'Av. Mizem Mashma Shekol Anin Shel Meraglim Hatzalon Va'Ora Shebo Hu Mahalach Shanim Shel Doros. Ha holchim. This issue of the Meraglim, this is not part of the past. The issue of the Meraglim, that mistake, that doubt, that uncertainty, that questioning of Hashem, that attitude is not part of our past. Unfortunately, it haunts us in the present. And therefore, says the Menachem Tzion, it's not shehalchu, it's haholchim. Halichasam mehadhed ad hayom hazeh. It continues to follow us and haunt us until today. Kemo azken ata yesh rovo miyut, asher nevakim zeh bezeh. Rov haroa rak es habayos hachamuros, hamatzavim hakashim hachruchim im tziashvish ba'aretz. Umivkvar lashevez begola meyashalos aretz levinosa. There are those, rov, most. This is an indictment of us. The Menachem Tzion himself, a product of Yerushalayim, the son-in-law of the chief rabbi of Tzvi Pesach Frank. But where did he live? Where was he a Rav? In Chicago. He says, those who live outside the land of Israel, that's us. We have all the reasons, all the uncertainty, all the doubts, why we can't move, why we don't go, why we don't settle our lives, why it's not our destiny and destination. We're still living here. Rov ha-moes ba'aretz chemdom yatzeges ha-bachil adoros. We're continuing that bachiyah forever. Why it won't work? Ourselves, our children, our parnasa, our family, our safety, our security. Umiyut shu b'chinas u'bisridim ha-shakara. Kiyashua b'kalev. And the miyut, who stand up, the shnaim keneged asara, who are alona ala, we're in, we're going up. Ba'avira anivos shekol eida amra l'ergom osam ba'avanam. Ba'amiyut shomid lenu ata ochim neged harov ha-holchim. So the reason that it's used in the present tense is to remind us this is not a problem of the past. This must be an ongoing conversation, not if, but when we're all moving to Israel. Because you could live with the attitude of what's missing, why it won't work. Essentially, the problem of being spies instead of tourists is a problem that follows us. Ha holchim, that Jewish attitude. My friend Chef Gersh, who in his restaurant on the receipt, it used to print, "Thank you for coming, was anything okay?" Featured one night on Jay Leno, his receipt from his restaurant. "Thank you for coming, was anything okay?" Why is that the Jewish attitude? Why do we always see what's wrong? Why are we always complaining? Why are we coming as spies instead of living our lives as optimistic, positive tourists? That challenge and that problem, our geula is not going to come with one another. The next challenge we're going to run, by the way, is a three-week challenge. Shavuos Batamas to Tisha B'Av, every day, a Avas Yisrael challenge of something to do that day to demonstrate love of a fellow Jew. A fellow Jew not like you. Hopefully we'll bring Mashiach and the challenge will be cut short. But we're going to issue, we're going to join that group, we'll publicize it soon, the three-week challenge starting on Tisha B'Av, Avas Yisrael. Every day a specific thing to do that day to show and demonstrate love to a fellow Jew. You could see how you disagree and what's wrong and their shortcomings and their failures. You could live as a spy of their life. You could spy on your neighbor or you can tour your neighbor. Tour your neighbor means, let me see what's redeemable, what's admirable, what's beautiful. Let me see what I love and can connect with among my neighbor. That's v'ahavta re'echa kamocha. That's living life as a tourist of your neighbor. Or you could be a spy of your neighbor. Let me show what's wrong and what's missing and why they're no good and why they're bad and why we disagree. It's time to go from spies to tourists. It's only when we fix that and correct that we can stop being ha-holchim, a problem in the present, and only then we'll be able to put it in the past. Now, let me tell you what I didn't get to for like the 10th year in a row. Next year, Parsha Shlach. Somebody please tell me, let's start with challah. Parsha Shlach has the mitzvah of challah. I have so many nice things to say about it. Challah, tzitzis, the mekoshesh etzim, so much more in Parsha Shlach we never get to. I apologize, Parsha Shlach. It's not fair to you. It's not fair to me. It's not fair to us. Mirtz Hashem next year. Please stay all a sefer tillim. So many things to daven for. War in Lebanon, Iran is not yet over. If everyone stays, we divide tillim. It'll take only a few minutes. May we hear Besoros Tovos, Yeshuos, V'nechamos.